All right, so if you grab your sheets then this evening, and let's get to the book of Psalms to start with. We are going to be moving around. Now tonight, I'm going to do something, again, a little bit different, trying to continue to incorporate our folks and young people even involved. So before we jump all the way in, you can see on our notes tonight, I have a whole list of verses. And they are in, yes, they are in numerical order, except for the first one. Obviously, we're in Psalm 46. But I would like people to help me tonight, all right, to read the scripture verse. You remember doing this in youth group or Sunday school or whatever. So who will read for me Psalm 14:6? Psalm 14:6. And we can have the children help out. Ladies, if you want to help out, that's fine, all right? Read the scriptures. All right, who will take Psalm 14:6? All right, Sarah, there we go. Psalm 61:3. Who will take that one? Micah, thank you. Psalm 62:7 and 8. Yes, Dave, thank you. And then Psalm 71:7. Psalm 71:7. Will, thank you. And then Psalm 73:28. Who will take Psalm? Thank you, Alyssa. And then Psalm 91:2. Psalm 91:2. Amaris, thank you. Psalm 91:2. And then Psalm 91:9. Who will do that? Abby, thank you. And then Psalm 94:22. Psalm 94:22. Josh, all right, thank you. And then finally, I won't hand that one out because we're going to all turn to that, Psalm 142, all right? Good, thank you. Now, we go to Psalm 46. We should be, Lord willing, all there. Those of you that have the extra passages, keep your finger where you're at. And this is a really, in many ways, I presume for most of us, a favorite psalm, a psalm of wonderful promise that God gives to his children, and a very familiar verse. And in fact, this is one of the verses that, as we've been memorizing from the book of Psalms, we've memorized this as a church family. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in trouble. Ever present is the word very, would mean that he's always there. You never have to wonder. It's not like sometimes he's closer than other times, all right? He's always available every time. Therefore, will not we fear. Now, notice the expression here. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Now, that sounds pretty catastrophic, does it not? You think of the description here. And what the psalmist is striving to help us to understand, no matter the catastrophe, God is my refuge and my strength. Now, the word refuge, and here's your blanks on your notes, all right? As our refuge, God shelters us from both storm and danger. And it appears as though God is intentionally using the word refuge to help us consider, can I put it this way, what we might find as any kind of trouble in our life as a believer. Where am I supposed to go when I've got trouble? When I've got fear? When I've got problems? I run to my refuge, and he shelters us from storm and danger. So it is a place, the word shelter is a very appropriate concept. It's where you would go. We think of here in our Midwest, all right, the tornado sign goes off, where are we going to shelter? Well, you usually don't go looking for a trailer home. Okay, okay. So we know, we run to the basement, all right? Don't want to go for a ride. All right, there we go. So you're down in the basement protecting. That's our shelter. Those of you, some of our really older, I'm sorry, that sounds bad. Our older generation, you remember, especially from World War II days. All right, even in America, we were concerned about bomb threats from specifically from Japan. Now, I realize in the Midwest, we were pretty safe at that point. But we had bomb shelters. If you've read any history, you know that in England, that was critical for the survival of the people at that time during the Blitzkrieg, all right? They were getting bomb, and they would run to their shelters. Of course, remember, they sent children out to the countryside, all those things. So a bomb shelter, a place of safety and protection. One of the interesting things, I enjoy studying military aircraft. One of the coolest planes out there, it's not the most sophisticated, but it's really cool, is the A-10. The A-10 is an aircraft that's used in military, in troop support, and they're called tank busters. So they fly really slow. They're a slow bird. It's like, don't you want to be really fast? Well, not for that purpose. They fly slow, and they've got this huge 50 caliber gun on the front, and they take out tanks and help support the troops that are on the ground. One of the interesting things about that plane is that the pilot literally sits in a titanium tub. He's protected from ground fire, so his plane may get blown up underneath him, but he's protected. Lord willing, he can eject and so forth. A place of protection, literally a shelter. So that's the concept that God wants us to have, a place where we shelter from a storm or from any kind of danger, a safe place. Now, in that place, our next blanks, the concept is a full, rich concept. It is a place of both rest and security. So, thinking of a shelter, we often think of that as a temporary place. If you think of a bomb shelter, I'm only there until the bomb threat is done. But what God intended for you to understand is that it's not, God is not temporary. So that's he's an ever-present help, all right, in trouble. He's always there. He's always available. His place of security and shelter and protection is such a wonderful place that in the midst of any trouble, any problem, you can rest. Now, how many of you, if you're facing a problem, sleep well at night? All right, and very few of us, right? Your heart is stirred, your mind is buzzing, and God says, stop it. I'm your security. I can take care of that problem. I can take care of your trouble. Rest. Remember from Psalm 4 that the righteous rest at night, God gives them sleep. I know through some of the tragedies of my own personal life that the only explanation that I could fall asleep at night was not because my heart wasn't stirred up or bothered or that the problems weren't great. It was because God was being my rest place. I could shelter in him. All right, Lord, I need some sleep. I know I do. My mind is worn out. My body is worn out. And boom, and God puts me to sleep. What a joy. It's a place of rest. It's not just talking about sleeping, though. I can rest in him so that in the midst of trouble, there's a calm and peace because I'm sheltered in God. I trust. This is where your faith steps in. This is some of what we talked about this morning in persecution, where you go to the synagogue and you trust the Lord to help direct what your word you say. You're resting in him. He cares for you. He's got it all under control. It may seem out of control, chaos in your life, but no, you trust your great shelter, your refuge. God protects you. A place of great rest and security. I've used the illustration before. I was farming after my high school senior year, before going to college, and long days. You'd get up, and milking was at 5:30 in the morning. I'd be out to the farm at 5:30, and often wouldn't be home until, especially during haying season, 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. One night we came home, and typical Midwest, right? This is Wisconsin. So there's a tornado, not just watch, a warning, all right? They've spotted a tornado. Sirens have gone off. The weather outside is absolutely crazy. Well, I was beat. I wanted to go to sleep. I had to get up the next morning to go milk the cows. And so we didn't have it. The house we lived in West Salem at that point, the basement was not pretty. It was a really old house. Well, if you liked fluorescent, somebody had painted some of the walls fluorescent orange. Can you imagine? And Dad never even thought to paint over it. Anyways, so not a restful place, all right? It kind of faded into a pinkish color. It was really gross. Anyways, no place to lay down. They'd left a pool table down there, but that was a slate pool table. That's hard. That hurts. You don't want to sleep on the pool table, all right? Anyway, so it's like, all right, Dad was upstairs watching the storm. I figured, if he's up there, everything's okay. So I went upstairs and slept on the couch or laid down and was resting while he was watching the siding get pulled off our neighbor's house. But I was secure. Why? Not because the storm outside was bad, but because Dad was there. And I was safe. If Dad thought it was bad enough to get downstairs, well, he'd have waken me up and pulled me downstairs, all right? That's the same type of sense and feel we have with the Lord. In any problem, in any tragedy, in any trouble in our life, I can find security in God. So that's the wonderful picture. Now, what we have, I use this exact word, the Hebrew word for refuge here in Psalm 46. And it's used these number of times. It's used a few other times in Scripture, but it's used exclusively in the book of Psalms to talk about God as our refuge. And so these references that I have listed here are various circumstances, and I'll explain them after they're read, of where the person trusted the Lord for his protection. So, Psalm 14:6. Go ahead, you don't need to stand up, just read it. Read it loudly, please.
Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord
Now, this goes along directly with what we said this morning. So, wicked people shamed the poor people that were trusting the Lord because they found God as their refuge. So, we often face derision because God is our refuge. So, what should I do? Flee the shelter? No. Stay there. God is our refuge. We live in a day where it is not, can I put it this way? Come on in, Donna. That's fine. I know she's frustrated. Yes, I understand. Way to be on time. Way early. So there you go. We just got started a little bit. You're in the notes really, really easily. That's great. Psalm 14:6. We often in this day and age, at this moment, we're derided for trusting the Lord, aren't we? They mock us. Oh, God is your refuge. So what do we do about it? Stay there. Keep trusting the Lord. Let him be your refuge. Will the world protect you? No. God is your protector. Wonderful place. Psalm 61:3. Go ahead and read that, whoever has that. Okay, good. And he goes on, though my heart is overwhelmed, it's in a later verse, it's like, I don't know what to do. God is my refuge, my strong tower from the enemy. You live life long enough, and it is what it is. You end up with usually some enemies. Aren't you glad that God protects you? What a wonderful joy. All right, Psalm 62, 7 and 8. Right, very good. So this is very interesting. You'll see it in a couple other spots where God connects the word refuge and the word rock. Now, we've studied already God is our rock. And remember, we used the two New Testament illustrations that were really important. Remember the illustration of the man who built his house on a rock and the other man who built his house on the sand? What was that rock a picture of? The word of God. Doctrine is faith. And then Jesus Christ himself tells Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. What rock is he talking about? He's talking about that confession that Jesus Christ is the Savior and all that is tied with that. Again, the Word of God. Now, when I understand that my rock and my refuge actually are one, it helps calm my heart. So I flee to God, but in a sense, when I flee to Him, where am I going? I'm running to the truths of His Word, of who He is, who He's told me He is, and I believe Him. And know that he's there. That's really important. See that connection. Good. Psalm 71:7.
I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge.
All right. So here, David, as I recall, this is a psalm of David. David is expressing the reality that he is a wonder. It's the idea he's a testimony. His life has been a testimony of God's greatness and goodness to him. Because David has chosen, as his habit, as his discipline, to find his refuge in God. And so down in verse 18 of Psalm 71, you may want to make a note of that in your notes. Even as he writes Psalm 71 as an old man. So through all his life, he has continued to look to God for his refuge. And because God is his refuge and he sought God's protection, he continues to be a testimony, a wonder to the world. Again, let us not be hypocritical. May our life be a wonderful demonstration, a wonder to the world that God is a place of refuge. Psalm 73:28. All right. So we put our trust in the Lord God so he can declare all his works. The preceding context there in verse 25 of Psalm 73 says, no one in heaven or on earth to trust but God alone. I can't turn anywhere else but to God. Now that's a really important, don't forget that, because when we see the illustration from David's life tonight, you'll see that God on purpose pushes David to the point where he can turn to no one else but God alone. And this is really, if I can put it this way, this is Psalm 73:25 through 28, is what we might call our proof text to understand and see in a very succinct form that God often will put you in a place where your only refuge is Him. And that's okay. You don't come to the end of your rope and tie a knot and hang on. No. You come to the end of your rope and trust God. Let go. Run to Him. Flee to His Word. Flee to the truth that He's with you. Lean on Him. Lord, all right, what do you need me to do today? In the midst of this problem, how can I react, respond rightly? Let Him alone be your refuge. Don't try to figure the problem out yourself. Don't run to everybody else in your life to find comfort and peace. Run to the Lord. And God sometimes orchestrates the details of our life, so the only place we can turn is to Him. And you gain a wonderful confidence in your great God. Psalm 91:2. In Him will I trust. That's right. He is my refuge and my fortress. A wonderful psalm of promise. And then let's read verse 9, Psalm 91:9. Yeah, okay, that's right. That's the only part of the verse. Now, it says earlier there that though 1,000 fall on my right side and 10,000 on my left, yet who doesn't fall? You don't, because God is your, and that's the verse, is God is your refuge. The picture of battle that David must have been thinking about there, I'm sorry, maybe even Moses there, Psalm 91, that everyone would fall on either side and you remain standing, the only explanation is God. Now, Moses has seen the plagues of Egypt. Remember the last plague? All the firstborn are slain except for those whose house had the blood sprinkled on the lintel, the doorpost, and the lintel. Thousands slain at his right hand and his left hand, and yet they didn't fall. What a fitting description of God's protection. Now, believer, I do not mean in any way to make light of what we're facing right now, but who alone can protect us through this pandemic? Now, we've looked at it already, but God is our shelter. God is our refuge. However He chooses to walk us through this, I don't think I'm being unrealistic to understand and know that this could go on for a while. It's a virus. It's not contained. I suspect, I was talking to some of the folks this morning, I wouldn't be surprised that it's going to come closer at some point where some of us or people that are really close to us catch COVID-19. Will God protect us? He is always our refuge. Now, how does He protect us? So that'll be His choice and decision. If He chooses to protect us from COVID-19 by taking us to heaven, that's pretty good protection, isn't it? Now, but maybe He still has purpose in your life and wants you here still to serve Him. So He'll walk you through that, guard and protect you. I can go to bed tonight not scared of COVID-19 because God is my refuge. And though thousands may fall at my right hand and 10,000 at my left, God is still my refuge. Isn't that wonderful? So I don't live in fear. All right, that's really important. Psalm 94:22. All right, now, the very interesting thing about Psalm 94 is this. Again, just another simple expression. He is my refuge, my fortress. But the beginning of the psalm points out that He's speaking of vengeance. He's a God of vengeance. He will judge the unrighteous. Whoa. Now, don't forget that that same God that judges us, and again, this comes back to this morning, whom should we fear? Not man, but God. All right? If I confess Him before man, Christ will confess me before the angels of heaven. I shouldn't deny Him. All right? I need to fear God, the one who can not just slay my life, but also send me to hell. All right? There's my fear. So He's a God of vengeance. But guess what? He's also our refuge. So let us fear God, but let us trust God. An amazing concept. There is no other religion, by the way, that has a God like ours in any way. That will punish sin, but loves people. He He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What an amazing, amazing God. You say, hey, how? I don't get it. You're not supposed to. He's God, and you're not. Okay? I believe it. He's the God of wrath and the God of grace. May I respond rightly. May I not face his wrath as I turn to him as my Savior and as I walk with him as my Lord. What a wonderful joy. All right. Psalm, finally, let's all get to Psalm 145. So you have to maybe run real quick if you're in chapter 46 or Psalm 46 yet. So Psalm 145, this is the end. We have a number of psalms at the end of the book of psalms of praise, essentially. So Psalm 145, I'm sorry, 142, I apologize. Verse 5 is what I wanted to say. Psalm 142, verse 5. Now notice again, in the book of Psalms, let me remind you that the words that are right after where it says like Psalm 142 and it says a Maskil of David, a prayer when he was in the cave, that's actually a part of the inspired text. All right, that's in the Hebrew Bible, that's verse 1. So when you start studying Hebrew, let me just forewarn you, get to the book of Psalms, you'll say, oh, I want to look up what this word is, you know, in the Hebrew. Well, in many of the Psalms, our verse 1 is actually verse 2. I know it gets really confusing. Anyway. But I want you. What I want you to know is God wanted you to know this, that when David wrote this psalm, he was in a cave. Now, can we think of any time in David's life that we have recorded in the historical narratives of when David was in a cave? Okay, this is a time to answer again. Yeah. Yes. Right. That's exactly right. So even Drew had that answer earlier, right? So David's in a cave. Saul comes in. It appears, and then when he was down in En-Gedi, there was numerous caves there to hide out in. And it was because he was fleeing for his life. All right, there's the picture background. There's the context of what verse 5 says. I cried unto thee, O Lord, I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. What an amazing God. So David's in a cave. He doesn't know if his next day, if Saul's going to get him. All he has is the promise that God said, you will be king. Everything else has seemed to fled away. No protection. King Saul pursuing. And his army is bigger than the men that are with David. Okay? And yet, he understands that God is his refuge, his shelter, his place of rest or security. What an amazing testimony. So, with that in mind, we know that Psalm 142 was more than likely written during those days of fleeing. David's a young man. How old was David when he became king? Anybody remember? 30. He was 30 years old. He reigned for 40 years, died when he was 70. So as we do the chronology of his life, many Bible scholars would believe that he was fleeing from Saul for up to 10 years. So you step that back, all right? David killed Goliath, and before that he had been anointed king. Saul starts getting angry. So he's anointed king very possibly like when he graduates from high school. Now, they didn't have high school back then, just so you know, all right? But I want you to put it, understand the context. He's a teenager, at the most maybe 20, 21, and now he's fleeing for his life. He's already been a commander in Saul's army. He's already been a cabinet member, all right, sitting with Saul. Supposed to be there at meals, that's part of the problem. He doesn't show up and Saul gets mad and angry. Where's the son of Jesse? All right, and he's fleeing. And that is probably the context of this psalm. And so I want us to go back to the narrative real quick, and that's the rest of our notes here. And it shouldn't take us long. We'll just read the verses. And I want you to understand that God took away everything that David had to shelter in. His only shelter was God. And guess what happened? Did God fail him? He did not. He became the next king of Israel. His great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson was the Messiah. Isn't that amazing? Believer, God is more powerful. He is the best refuge. Let's trust him. So, flip with me then. Let's all go there. 1 Samuel chapter 19. 1 Samuel chapter 19. And these are some of the records of when David was fleeing Saul. Psalm 19, verse 8. And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand, and Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. But he, David, slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he, Saul, smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. You see, God wanted to know that you can never, point number one, shelter in your position. Leading soldier just helped win a battle against the Philistines. And yet that didn't protect him when Saul was angry. You see, Saul clearly was a tool in the hands of Satan to destroy the plan of God. Excuse me, to destroy the plan of God. David would be the great, 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 add a couple more, grandfather of the Messiah. It would have been a good job on Satan's part to get rid of that great, great grandfather so there could be no Messiah. No covenant of David. No promise. And yet God protected him, but he didn't protect him because he was in a place of position. All right? Let's go on, verse 11 and 12. And Saul sent messengers unto David's house to watch him, to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. David could not shelter in his family. His wife, family weren't his protection at this point. The enemy was too great. As you know, as we know the rest of the story, Michal was somewhat of a mixed bag as well for David. Not really a heart that followed the Lord. It was probably wise for David to get out of the house. Can I put it that way? I think she would have saved her neck before she saved his. There we go. Interesting. So God taking away the crutch or the security of family. Let's go on then, chapter 19, verse 18. So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth. God was teaching Samuel teaching David point number three, that you can't shelter in your mentor or your teacher. Of all the people to find protection, it seemed as though this was a really smart move on David's part. Samuel, the prophet, the man of God, the one who had anointed him king, the next king of Israel. Samuel, the great leader of the nation, the one who knew Saul inside and out. Boy, talk about a good ally. Someone to get good wisdom from. And yet, they had to leave. So as we read, he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth, and it was told Saul, verse 19, behold, David's in Naoth and Ramah, and Saul sent messengers to take David. Now what happens? Well, let's go down to chapter 20, verse 1. And David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is mine iniquity and what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life? He couldn't even stay with Samuel. The great prophet couldn't call down fire from heaven to protect David, the anointed king. You see, David needed to learn that even a godly good friend, mentor, teacher, isn't your security. And then we go on to verse 41. And you probably have to flip a page in your Bible, chapter 20, verse 41. So we see Jonathan introduced again into the narrative. In verse 41, as soon as the lad was gone, remember they shoot the arrows and so forth, for a sign, David arose out of the place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times. Then they, that's Jonathan, and David kissed one another and wept one with another until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, go in peace. You see, even David's closest friend at this point, Jonathan, the son of Saul, could not protect or would not protect David from his father, from Jonathan's father. Do not shelter in your friends. So all that seemed to David have in life, his position, his family, his mentor, his friends, none of them were the right shelter for David from this terrible trouble and tragedy. And that is the scenario that we find Psalm 142 written in. The Lord is my refuge. Finally, chapter 21, verse 10 and 14. David flees to the Philistines. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. Verse 14, then said Achish unto his servants, lo, you see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? David, verse 1 of chapter 22, David therefore departed. You see, he came up with this wonderful plan and scheme. Ha! If I go over to the enemy's territory, Saul will leave me alone. He goes to the enemy's territory and then he's afraid for his life anyway. The Philistines might get him. And it wouldn't have been necessarily inappropriate. He'd slain their giant. He was the enemy. And in his twisted thinking, instead of trusting the Lord, he came up with a plan that was not good. So, do not shelter in yourself. Wow. Everything is gone for David. And now he's going to spend the next 10 years fleeing for his life. Where do you go in a time of trouble like that? Very few of us have ever faced the real true challenge of whether we'd be living the next day because someone's going after our life. So David fled to the Lord. Now, let's all go back to Psalm 142. And we'll conclude there. Psalm 142. After God had thrust away all of the crutches of security in David's life, David pens these words. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou, Lord, knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, behold, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Tonight's not the night for us to dig into that second image, the word portion, but just to give you a quick interesting thing. So he's fleeing. He's a nomad. He has no possession, no inheritance. He's been driven from the inheritance of the Lord. And yet, where does he find his inheritance, his portion? In God. God is enough. God is your shelter. God is your portion. Let's keep going. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Ah, have we not seen that in the description from 1 Samuel? Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. What an honest evaluation of his circumstance. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. We find through Scripture this wonderful promise that as we find the Lord as our refuge, like David sees in his future, this is a word of faith, if I can put it this way, is trust in the Lord in verse 7. Thou shalt deal bountifully with me. God puts us often in green pastures. oh, the trouble is there, and we have to maybe shelter in place for a good long time. But David knew that God is so good that God would deal bountifully with him. What an expression of great faith and trust in the promises of God. David, you'll be king one day. God will deal bountifully. Stop and consider the rest of David's life. Oh, there was trouble along the way for sure. But remember his expressions to Solomon at the end of his life before he dies? He could only praise God for his goodness to him. God had watched over and cared for him all life long. God was his refuge. Believer, we have the best refuge. No matter what the trouble, this has been a crazy year. Find your refuge in God. And guess what? He will never, never fail. The roof won't cave in. The shelter will stay in place. What will pass? The trouble, not the shelter. What a wonderful God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this wonderful promise. Thank you that you are our refuge. So, Lord, help us. Help us to flee to you. Lord, I know that at times as you teach our somewhat stubborn and slow to learn hearts, you have to take away shelters from us so that we learn to shelter only in you, to find our refuge only in you. Lord, thank you that you use means, many means at times, to provide that shelter. We studied that in our teaching quiz time tonight. Thank you for your intervention in our life in so many ways. Some of it even not, we don't even know about. Lord, may we willfully choose, like David here in Psalm 142, to find our refuge in you alone, no matter the trouble, no matter the problem. And may we, with the eyes of faith, like David had, look ahead to bountiful days where your demonstrated grace is seen in our life. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Believer, are you sheltering in the Lord tonight? Is he your refuge? Maybe you're going through some points of struggle and trouble, and you say, I needed that tonight, Pastor. My life is living in some fear, and I need to just trust the Lord, my refuge, who will carry me through, who will protect me through the problem. Is that your need tonight? Could I just maybe as a matter of encouragement to you, pray for you and say, Lord, help that one, that they'll find shelter in the Lord. Anyone else say, Pastor, that's my need tonight. I want a shelter in the Lord. Yes, amen, amen. Anyone else? Yes. Father, I pray that you would help each of us to look to you for our shelter. Thank you for the word of encouragement tonight. Lord, if there's one here tonight, even among our children, that has not come to you as their Savior, and so they cannot in any way claim your promises and find you as a refuge, may tonight be the night of their salvation. May they come to you as their Savior and Lord and then find the peace and joy, the rest and security that comes in the God of our refuge. In your name we pray.